being our fifth Sunday of the month, we have our family worship on the fifth and the first Sundays of the month, so our children can stay with us this morning. I hope that they will take advantage of having a time of corporate worship together. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 26. And we're going to be looking in Proverbs chapter 26 and elsewhere in the book of Proverbs, completing our study on a new year of wisdom. We've been talking about the book of Proverbs, about living as wise individuals. We started off early on in Proverbs chapter 1 looking at the beginning of wisdom. What does it look like, or what is the start of wisdom? How do we begin to acquire wisdom? And we talked about the fear of the Lord and what that means to fear God, to know Him more, to know Him truly as He is, and how it strikes us to know even more about Him. Then we continue to look at the two different paths that life unfolds, a path that is wise, walking in the way God wants us to walk, and a path that is unwise, walking in a way that leads to destruction. Then we talked about a major theme in the book of Proverbs, and we talked about lust and adultery and seduction and those type things. It comes up again and again in the book of Proverbs. And then last week, as we were talking about wisdom, we looked at what a wise person looks like. If you are drawing a picture or a caricature of a wise person, what are some characteristics? And we talked about them being teachable and tolerant and discerning and discreet and all of these things that the book of Proverbs describes as an individual. Well, this morning as we wrap up our series, A New Year of Wisdom, we're going kind of in the opposite direction of wisdom. Because some people believe they are wise, but they are not. And this morning, it's my job to make sure you know if you're a fool or not, okay? So that's what this message is about. Sometimes we don't realize how foolish we look until after the fact, until we have the opportunity for someone to share with us, this is something foolish. And I think when I was a freshman in high school, we were living down in Miami, Florida, and so when we took our youth group on a ski trip, it was a big deal because we had to drive quite a long distance. We would charter a bus and take it up to North Carolina, and we would stay multiple days, usually over the Valentine's weekend, for our ski trip. So we'd have, I don't know, 4 or 5 days of skiing. It was a big retreat that our high school did, and this was my first year able to go on ski trip. And it took me a little while to catch on, but it's where I fell in love skiing. I absolutely love to go skiing now. I don't go as often as I'd like, but it was a lot of fun, and the retreat itself was a lot of fun. Because we had different devotions we had to complete before we'd get our ski ticket. Then each night we'd sit down and open up the Bible, and our youth director would teach us about what the Bible says about different things. And being around Valentine's Day, we decided we would play a little game. And so our youth director had a few people come up, and the game was with a couple of girls sitting up there. It was, guys, come up and deliver your best pickup line to this girl, and we're going to vote to see who has the best pickup line, right? So, of course, me being a freshman and being full of energy, believe it or not, I've always been this hyper. I volunteered, and there was, you know, several upper-class girls up there waiting for these freshman boys or whoever would volunteer to come up and deliver their smoothest pickup line. Well, we had a couple that came up and, you know, gave the old, did you fall from heaven type pickup lines, or, you know, looking for the tags, made in heaven, or whatever it would be. And so I get up there, and I don't even remember what my line was. I think we had to draw it out of a hat, or I can't remember, but I came up, and there was this junior or senior girl, and I go and I do the smooth, put my arm around her, and I deliver the pickup line. I think it's flawless for a freshman anyways. And so I'm doing good until one girl from the back, she was a senior. She didn't go to our church. She used to, but she had moved to North Carolina and met us there. I had no idea who she was. And she yelled, "Your fly is down!" You know, and no, it's not. And I looked down, and sure enough, there it was, down to my knees, I think, you know. I don't get embarrassed very easy, but that was about the most foolish I've ever felt in my entire life. You know, we go through our lives, sometimes we feel like things are going smooth, things are going well, and you're kind of coasting, and you think you're doing really good until someone points out a fault in your life, something that is keeping you from being what God's called you to be. And in that moment, we have a decision. We can look down and zip up, or we can keep on with our foolishness, okay? This morning, as we look at the characteristics of a fool, there's a great danger that as we read the book of Proverbs, we start to think about all of these wisdom things, and we forget that it's not just do all of these things, but there's also a don't do things as well. So we're going to look this morning at the characteristics of a fool. What does it look like when a foolish person is in our midst? And Proverbs chapter 26, verses 1 through 11 is a pretty good caricature of a fool. We're going to start off just by reading verse 1, then we're going to come back and read a few verses throughout that. I would encourage you to go and read Proverbs 26 yourself. But also, elsewhere throughout the book of Proverbs, we see this contrast between a wise person and a foolish person. Read with me in Proverbs 26, starting in verse 1. Like snow in summer and rain at harvest, honor is inappropriate for a fool. In other words, as much as we celebrate wisdom, as much as we get excited about wanting to be wise in the eyes of God, we have to be very careful because there is no honor in us. As hard as we try, as much as we try to line ourselves up with the characteristics of wisdom, there is no honor that is appropriate for us if we are still living foolish lives. So this morning, we ask ourselves a question. What does a fool look like? What are the characteristics of a fool? Last week we had 7 characteristics of a wise person. This week we're looking at 3 general characteristics of a fool. And the first one is maybe the most blatant and easiest to spot at face value. And that is, a fool denies God. A fool denies God. Skipping back to Psalms chapter 14. If you look in the book of Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, we see the characteristic, maybe the defining characteristic of a fool when it says, the fool says in his heart, God does not exist. They are corrupt, they do vile deeds, there is no one who does good. You know, this is one of those things that is so obvious. If someone stands up and says, there is no God, I don't believe God exists, we look and we say, that person must be a fool. Why? Because elsewhere in Psalms we read, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaims the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they display knowledge. We can see God all through creation. We know He exists. You'd have to be foolish to look at our world and believe there is no God. You know, we live in a world that is spinning out of control. Scientists, secular and Christian, both agree that if you look at the universe, it is not coming together in organization. It is drifting apart in chaos. And as time goes on, the universe is getting more and more chaotic. Everyone agrees with this. And yet we look at the great organization structure, and we look at just our own solar system, how perfectly placed everything is. And we can't help but in our wisdom say, something must have put this together. The universe doesn't just come together. The universe flies apart. It would take a fool to say in his heart, God does not exist. But here's why this one is a little harder to recognize. Why we want to believe that a fool denies God is something easy to spot. The problem is this first line in Psalm 14:1. The fool says, in his heart, God does not exist. You know, it's easy for us to spot the person who says there is no God, who's standing up and being loud, and the stereotypical professor at the college who's challenging those Christian students to prove the existence of God. Those ones are easy. So I think more likely the fool in this situation is not the one yelling and shouting and screaming, but the one who says in his heart, God does not exist. Now, I worded very carefully when I was putting together my sermon notes to say that a fool denies God, and not just a fool denies the existence of God. Because there are many people who are foolish in their ways who deny following God. They believe He exists. They believe He's there. They even come to church and maybe even sing songs of worship. But in their heart, they are not following how He's called them to follow. They're denying His goodness and His control over their lives. Back in the book of Proverbs, if you look at Proverbs 28:26, it says, the one who trusts in himself is a fool, but the one who walks in wisdom will be safe. You know, how many of us think that we are wise because we come to church, because we sing the songs, because we believe certain thoughts, but our lifestyle reflects a reliance on ourselves. It reflects that we trust in ourselves. that we know somehow better than what God knows. And while God commands do this, we decide it's easier to do that. When God says live this way and be holy, we decide to live this way because we think we know better. It's not just a denial of God with our mouths that makes us foolish. No, a fool denies God in his heart. A fool denies God by the way he lives and the way he acts. This morning, I'm afraid that there are more foolish people in here than we like to admit. More people who want to walk in ways of wisdom, but refuse to trust God's wisdom in our lives. I'm sure if we did a survey of who believes that God exists, we're gathered in a church. If you didn't believe God exists, more than likely you would not be here this morning. But if we did more of an inward survey, who is living their lives according to the way God would call us to live, there would be far few of us that could answer that question affirmatively. We need to be very careful as we're examining our lives that we not only confess God with our lips, but we confess Him with the way we live in our hearts and how we act, that we carry out the commandments that God calls us to. So a fool denies God. He lives according to himself. But secondly, a fool rejects correction. A fool rejects correction. Here's the hard thing about talking to a foolish person, is that when you point out an area of correction, they refuse to correct. As a matter of fact, they just argue further. It's this frustrating debate you have with some people on Facebook. Now, you guys don't debate on Facebook, I know. But for those of you who might debate every once in a while on Facebook from time to time, when you lay out the perfect factual representation of your side of the case, and they just come back and they lay out the most incoherent thought you've ever seen in your life, defending what they believe, you realize they are a fool. For instance, when someone tries to tell you that the University of Illinois or the University of Indiana University or North Carolina or Duke or is a greater college basketball school than the University of Kentucky, you start laying out facts. You start talking about the winningest program of all time. You start talking about the most Final Fours of all time. You start talking about the most tournament wins of all time. You start talking about all of these facts, and they just come back with, no, we're better, you know? No, you're not, right? You're a fool. You know, truth be told, this is not just in the secular realm. We have to be very, very careful that when we receive correction, that we don't look at it and just dismiss it because we don't like it. A fool says, I won't even listen to you. Remember last week when we talked about the characteristics of a wise person? The very first one is that they are teachable. They're able to be taught. If we are going to be wise and not fools, we have to be able to be taught and even corrected. We have to understand sometimes we are wrong. Proverbs 12:1 says this, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but one who hates correction is, and I like the way this is phrased, stupid. Do you know the Bible used that word? The one who loves discipline loves knowledge, but the one who hates correction is stupid. That's not just the Holman Christian Standard that I use. That's also in the New International Version. That's also in the New American Standard Version. There are several translations that translate this word as stupid, as dumb, as ignorant, as foolish. We need to be able to understand we are not perfect. We make mistakes and we need to then correct them. And there's multiple levels of this correction. There are those who come to you and tell you there's something wrong in your life you need to get straightened out. The first level is accepting that, is understanding, yes, I realize there's something wrong in my life and I need to get that fixed. And maybe you decide, yes, I shouldn't be doing that and I need to fix that. But there's another level. The next level is actually desiring to make the change. There are some people who say, I know it's wrong. I know it's bad. I know it's not what God wants for my life. But I don't have the energy to tackle that right now. Maybe down the road I'll work on that. I know it needs to change, but I'm just not going to do anything about it. Or maybe you decide you need to do something about it. There's another level, and that's actually doing it. Saying, I know I need to change, I'm going to strive to change, and I'm going to put the steps in place to make that correction and make that change. A fool despises this type of correction. They say, I don't want any part of change in my life. I really like back in our original text, Proverbs 26, verse 11. The vivid description of what a fool looks like when he is corrected. He's pointed out a mistake, and yet he returns to it time and time again. Proverbs 26:11 says this, "A dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness." You cannot fix a fool. They simply want to continue believing and living how they've always believed and always lived. A fool rejects your correction. This morning, as we start to look at the characteristics of a fool, we realize they're a dangerous person to have in our lives. We realize that a foolish person will hold us back, will keep us from being what God's called us to be. They deny God with their lives, and they refuse to change those areas. But can I tell you, this third characteristic is the most scary to me. It's the one that as I think about it and I pray about it, it's the one that cuts the most. And that is, a fool remains ignorant. A fool remains ignorant. If you read all of Proverbs chapter 26, you come to two verses that are kind of interesting, because when you read them, I scratched my head and had to reread them two or three times. They were a little confusing, especially when put one right after the other. We see some places in Scripture where we have a hard time placing together. God's Word is perfect. There is not a word that is wrong, but there are places that seem to contradict ourselves, and we scratch our heads, and we have to study more to see how God has fit those two together. And by the way, if you ever have questions with some of those contradictions, I hope and pray that you would come to myself or another leader in this church so we can talk honestly and start discovering what the Bible really says. What you'll find is there are actually not contradictions in God's Word. But here in chapter 26, verse 4 and 5, we see a confusing set of verses together. It says, "Don't answer a fool." Now, remember this. "Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you'll be like him yourself." Then in verse 5, "Answer a fool according to his foolishness, or he will become wise in his own eyes." So we read these two verses, and one verse right after the another. The first one says, "Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness." If you try to answer a fool according to his foolishness, you'll be just like him. Don't stoop down to his level and act foolish with him. Don't get in these annoying debates with each other. Don't be a fool and lower yourself down. But the very next verse, it's the same opening line without the word "don't." It's now an affirmative. "Answer a fool according to his foolishness, or else he'll become wise in his own eyes." In other words, if you see someone acting foolish and you don't correct them, they're never going to get any better. You better go and talk to them about it and address it. And there's this confusion here as we read these two verses. What in the world is going on? Are we correcting or are we not correcting? Are we supposed to go and talk to this individual, or are we supposed to stay back? Does wisdom tell us to be bold, or does wisdom tell us to be silent? Now, these two verses aren't put next to each other on accident, because what this is trying to communicate, and especially as you read more characteristics of a fool, what this is trying to communicate is there is no way to talk to a fool. If you try to go in and talk to him and stoop down to his level, it just makes things worse. But if you try to stay back and remain silent, nothing helps. In other words, a fool is going to stay a fool because they don't understand how foolish they are being. A fool is just going to remain, and they have no idea even how to correct themselves. This is a very scary thought as I start to ponder the characteristics of a fool. You know, how are we supposed to react? But as we start reading, as I start looking at the characteristics of a fool, my mind always seems to go to this question: how do I deal with a fool? But this particular characteristic makes me think, forces me to ask, am I the one who is a fool? You see, a fool doesn't believe that he's foolish. A fool thinks that everything he does is right. This morning, I understand every Sunday morning, every sermon I've ever preached, there is someone sitting out in the congregation. And I venture and say this morning, especially since I'm labeling fools and wise people, I'd say a good majority of people are thinking, this is a wonderful sermon, and I wish so-and-so would pay attention to it. Right? Every single Sunday, I promise you, this is not something that is new, and we can laugh about it, but there's some real truth to it. Because every single one of us sits back and goes, but I know someone who fits these characteristics. And if only they could hear how foolish they're being and see their folly, maybe they could change. And we neglect this third characteristic of our ignorance. Maybe we're the ones who are foolish. Maybe we're the ones who are denying God with our lives. Maybe it's us who won't be teachable and listen to correction. Maybe we're the ones with the problem. This morning, as we think about a fool and a wise person, it's very important that we do not focus on somebody else. As a matter of fact, whenever you read the Word of God, it is so vitally important that we don't sit back and project these things on everyone else. Instead, it's a call to inwardly look. It's a call for us to say, how am I living? How am I acting? Am I acting like God would want me to, with wisdom, or am I being foolish and denying God with the way I live? Am I ignoring the teachable correction in my life, and am I sitting here refusing to change? This morning, it's very important that we understand that we have a tendency to be foolish. We have a tendency to act outside of how God wants us to act. And this morning's message is not intended for somebody else. This morning's message is intended for you. It's intended for me. Let us not be ignorant. See, a foolish person can easily be spotted, and other times is very difficult to spot. That's the problem with a foolish person. Sometimes you can see, obviously, this is someone living a foolish life, and sometimes they're sitting in church next to you or in your seat. Because a fool can conceive a fool can conceal their ignorance. And actually, Scripture gives a very quick way. If you want to appear wise and stay in your foolishness, there's actually a prescription for that. It's really pretty easy. I'd say easy to hear. Maybe sometimes harder for us to do. Proverbs 17, verse 28. It says, even a fool is considered wise when he keeps silent, discerning when he seals his lips. Many of us have fooled a lot of people because we know when to speak and when not to. Even if we're loud mouths, we know who to be loud mouths to and who to remain silent with. And see, a fool is able to zip his mouth shut. Proverbs 18:2 says this, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only wants to show off his opinions. How many of us are loud in our arrogance, professing to be wise, trying to make sure everybody knows we're doing the things we know to be true, and yet in our hearts we're denying God. In our actions we're not living the way He's called us to live. When people come to us with correction, we ignore them, or maybe we put pretty flowery language on it. Maybe we use this, and I hear this all the time, but it's different in my situation. I know the Bible says this, but if you only understood what's going on in my life. You see, a fool is able to conceal their foolishness with flowery talk, with this comforting, wise-sounding words. But in the end, a fool ultimately just remains in their ignorance. I've got a little secret for you that will help you in your walk with God. It's not really a secret, but it's something that we oftentimes neglect, and that is God's Word applies to you as much as it applies to everyone else. Everything the Bible says was written with you in mind. It's written so that we, as individuals, can understand it. And we can recognize and worship God. It was written so that we can be corrected in our ways. And it was written so that we could have a good relationship with Christ. And instead of trying to forecast the Word of God out to everyone else, a wise person acknowledges their ignorance and says, I want myself in my personal walk to follow God's Word, regardless of what my life would seem to dictate, regardless of how I feel my circumstances are, I will follow the Word of God. This morning, as we look at the characteristics of a fool, we realize what it boils down to is a foolish person is someone who denies God's control in their lives. They deny that He is God or Lord. They deny His correction, and they deny their need to change. Maybe this morning you've lived your whole life in that definition of foolishness. You've run from God. Maybe you've even doubted His actual existence. But if nothing else, you've doubted His will for your life. You've doubted that He has something better for you. And because of that, you've refused to accept this forgiveness talk that we've mentioned. You've refused to accept the fact that you are a new creation and a new life. You hear about Jesus Christ paying for your sins and dying on the cross for you, but you can't embrace it because you believe your way is better than God's way. You've been living this foolish lie. Or maybe this morning, you have embraced a relationship with Christ. You recognize that salvation is found when you confess your sins before God. You recognize that you need to be doing all the things God has called you to do and submitting to His will for your life. But even in your Christian walk, you've started slipping. You've become ignorant to your own foolishness, and you need to start asking, Lord, how does the Word of God change me? This morning, as we come to our time of invitation, those are the questions we need to ask. Lord, how is it that I am living my life? Am I living wise in your eyes, or am I living foolishly? Lord, am I doing all the things that seem to be right in my own eyes, or am I submitting myself to your word and your ways? This morning, as we come to our time of invitation, I invite you to close your eyes and pray with me as we ask God to show us His wisdom. Father, I come before you this morning and I acknowledge, Lord, I can be such a fool. Lord, I am such a fool. Father, in my own eyes, in my own wisdom, I appear to be a model sometimes of Christianity. I come to church every Sunday. I go to Sunday school. Father, I serve within the church, but Lord, in reality, there are times I deny you. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help me and each of us recognize our need to constantly be changed by your word. Lord, we pray this morning for the individual who's in here who says, I've never ever lived a wise life. I've never submitted and acknowledged that Jesus Christ is Savior. I've never admitted and acknowledged that I need to yield my life according to the word of God. I've never asked Jesus Christ to save me. Lord, this morning I pray you would put on their hearts, put on those people's minds. Lord, help them to understand that a simple submission and an understanding that your way is better than their way, a simple acknowledgement that they need that forgiveness through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Lord, it's in that moment they make the most wise decision they could and begin a relationship with you. Lord, for others in here who have a relationship or have for some time, we pray that you would give them eyes that are open to their own need for wisdom, that they would stop living ignorantly and forecasting correction and forecasting judgment and other things on everyone else. Let them, Lord, focus on their own lives so that they can be wise in your eyes. Lord, and when we begin doing that and your word starts dictating everything we do in our lives, don't we start embracing and encouraging and correcting one another, and Father, your church begins to function the way you've called it to function. So Lord, this morning we pray those two things. Make us wise individuals through your salvation that you give through Jesus Christ and through our yielding and understanding that your ways are far better than ours. It's in your name we pray. Amen.